Come on, come on. You'll never get to our part of the tank if you spend all day with your nose glued to the glass watching Struan's television.
Leave me alone. I'm a happy little guppy.
I have a dream, Liam. I have a dream of creating a new life for myself with culture and refinement and no bloody television.
Shh!
You'll get square eyes.
Shut up. Oh, hello. Here comes trouble. His ex-wife's turned up.
Which is no joke with eyes as big as yours. It'll be like swimming around with two packing cases strapped to your skull.
It's no good asking Big Barry, girl. He won't fall for your charms, not since the accident with the bacon slicer. Oh, hello. He has.
It rots your brain, television does. It ruins relationships and it kills conversation. Liam. Liam.
The Goldfish Bowl by Sean Prendergast.
Oh, you're not watching that, are you, Struan?
No.
Do you want me to turn it off?
No.
Do you want to watch any particular channel?
No.
This?
What do you think?
I'm allergic to white.
This?
You're saying a plane crash.
This?
No.
Are all gay men so non-committal?
No. Well, I don't know. But maybe.
Hello? Wait a minute. What's this? That's Michael Aspel. What's he doing on it?
For the last time, she's changed channels.
Well, I wish she wouldn't. One minute, Jim and Helen are standing in the wine bar discussing the maintenance for the twins. Then, without warning, Helen's come back for the red on the bolt cushion. And there's a huge plane crash starring David Jason in a change of role for this versatile character actor, still best remembered as the lovable Del Boy. It's very confusing.
It's the curse of channel surfing. The airwaves are glutted with crap.
Don't you like the telly welly, then?
What do you think?
But that's just impossible. Give me one good reason why not.
I'll give you three. One, I hate it because it's a succession of flaccid fantasies in which cardboard characters fail to live up to even the lowest standards of human behaviour and instead flounder around in the mediocrity of their own making.
I see.
Two, the pressures of competition mean there's no real drama left. Everything with a cutting edge is blunted. At least the Romans got bread and circuses and Christians against the lions. And we get stale bread, flea circuses, and people painting their neighbours' bedrooms purple just to piss them off.
What's the third reason you hate it?
Because it's aimed at the lowest common denominator.
Who's that, then?
You.
What is it, Helen? Is something wrong?
Yes, Jim. It's Bobby.
Bobby, Helen? What about him?
Cliff just rang. He'd been talking to Jack, who met with Tom and Dorothy over at Al's. They have tragic news.
Oh, my God. I knew it.
Knew what?
Well, isn't it obvious? Al's Helen's long-lost brother. They were separated at birth after a tragic hang glider crash, and Al was raised in the wild by gerbils.
By gerbils?
Could happen. Only last week in The Ugly and the Beautiful, it turned out that Ricky wasn't really a pool boy.
Who was he then?
Before the operation, he was Lavender, the illegitimate daughter of Primrose and Basil, sister to Marjoram and Sage, and not, as we had previously suspected, the lesbian lover of Coriander.
So it's possible that the surprise Helen has for Jim has nothing to do with Al's parentage?
You see? You're getting interested.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. You're hooked, me old mate. Don't blame yourself, Anton. Shakespeare could have learnt a thing or two from the telly.
Jules? What's the matter, Jules?
Nothing, Romeo.
Don't fool me, Jules. You may be a Capulet, but that don't matter nothing to me. Who's been having a go at you, girl?
Dirty Ben.
Dirty Benvolio?
Yeah.
Right then, I'm going down to the piazza.
No.
Don't you try and stop me. Tell Friar Lawrence I'm going to sort this out once and for all.
Hi, William. I'm Debbie. I'm the producer. This is Tarquin and this is Alexandria.
Hello, I've got a teddy.
I've got a Thomas the Tank Engine and a James and a Edward and a Percy, and I don't like your third act.
Are these your children?
No, they're the script editors. Actually, I thought I'd give you my notes first, Will. Oh, do you prefer William or Will?
William.
Will it is, then. So, basically, I've talked to Network Centre, and we think we've got a green light on the Hamlet pilot, subject to a polish of the script, of course.
Oh, well, great. I am pleased with it.
Well, let's not run before we can walk, eh?
No, right.
I think, broadly speaking, the feel is... It's too downbeat.
Well, it is a tragedy.
I think in television there's tragedy, and then there's tragedy, and then there's tragedy. Three tragedies, all related, but all different.
It's like the Three Sisters.
Sorry, you've lost me.
Anton Chekhov.
Oh, Anton. Yeah, oh, Tarquin knows Anton. They were at Cambridge together.
I want a lolly.
I mean, primetime tragedy, feel-good tragedy, pre-watershed tragedy.
Yeah, what about the character of Hamlet? I mean, the madness, the depression, and the mother thing. Yeah,
too gloomy. I mean, everybody gets a bit mis at times, but moping? No, I don't think so. It's not an attractive quality in a lead. Am I going too fast for you, love?
No, I'm just taking some notes. Hamlet's not a moper.
I think Hamlet's more the sort of character who shed a quiet tear in the corner, stick on some fresh lipstick and get back on with the job.
Lipstick?
Oh, didn't I mention that? Hamlet's a girl. We're hoping for Amanda Burton.
look, I don't want to be difficult, but I really think Hamlet should be a boy.
Okay, no problem. Nick Berry's free in August.
Amanda Burton it is, then.
If Shakespeare were alive today, writing these would kill him if the cocaine and call girls didn't get to him first. Now, can we please get a move on?
Quiet. I'm watching this.
Oh, Helen.
Oh, Jim.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, shut up. You're spoiling it.
Look at you. You must be the only guppy in the world addicted to this rubbish. All right, here's my prediction. 5 gets you 10, she's going to confess to Jim she's just spent half an hour in the coal shed giving Al, Jimmy, Chuck, Bill, Bob, Henry, Big J, Little J, Fat Eddie, Long Tall Paul, Small Paul and Smelly Jeffrey a blowjob.
Do you think so?
Let's watch and see.
Spill it out, Helen.
There, told you.
It's bad news, isn't it?
Not if you're Al, Jimmy, Chuck, Bill, Bob, Henry, Big J, Little J, Fat Eddie, Long Tall Paul, Small Paul and Smelly Jeffrey, it's not.
Look at her lip trembling. Perhaps I was wrong. Perhaps Al isn't her half-brother. Perhaps Dorothy and Tom have been kidnapped by terrorists.
What do you mean?
It's Simon. He's in hospital.
Simon?
What?
Who's Simon? Hey, Simon! Hey, who's Simon?
Simon is...
Yes?
Sorry, mate. That's your lot. Susan switched it off.
No! You heartless, heartless woman! Oh, God! How can you sleep without knowing the fate of poor Simon?
Because she doesn't care a stuff.
But I do! I do! It's my life!
I know. It's ironic. You're not even old enough to remember real television.
What do you mean, real television?
I mean black and white. 4 inches square and virtually impossible to watch, like looking at a fag packet through a pint of Guinness. But, oh, it was socially relevant.
We present The Butcher's Boy by Harold Potter, directed by Lindsay Pinter, starring Sir Judith Gielgud and Dame Trevor McNeice.
Now, don't raise your voice to me, lass.
I'll raise it. I'll raise it so that the whole street can hear.
Nay, daughter.
Nay, I've a piece to say and I'll say it.
Say it. Say it. Say what you have to say.
I'll tell you what I have to say. You're nothing. None of you. It's not an empire, do you hear? It's a dirty, rotten sham. Look at the houses in our street. Look at them. They're all the same. Row upon row of identical boxes like mock Tudor coffins. And behind every set of lace curtains lurks a Greek tragedy.
Stop her, Father. She doesn't know what she's saying. I say she does know what she's saying. And what's more, she should say it.
I'm saying abortion, incest, murder, homelessness, bestiality, smuggling, illegal betting, prostitution, forgery and fretwork.
Fretwork? How extraordinary. Do you know that's only the 13th time fretwork has been mentioned in television during the past 20 years?
You really are sad, aren't you? I bet you know everything there is to know about that box.
Pretty much so. From the first word spoken in a BBC documentary about frogs to the bogey capacity of Esther Ranson's left nostril.
And the answers are?
Careful, Philip. Don't stand on the spawn. And 5,431.
What a terrible indictment of modern society.
Don't knock it, Anton. I'm very proud of my knowledge. You know you were talking about dreams earlier? Well, I've got a dream that someday my familiarity with trivia will pay off in a big, big way.
Liam the Goldfish, before the break, you answered 14 questions correctly. Luckily for you, they've all been on the subject of TV trivia. And now you have got £500,000. But we don't want to give you £500,000. Now we're asking you for £1,000,000. £1 million. The question is, which condiment traditionally accompanies pepper? Is it A, salt, B, strychnine, C, monkey spunk, or D, Hitler's left jackboot? Now, you're not nervous, are you, Liam?
No, I'm fine, thank you. I'd like to ask the audience, please.
All right, fingers on buzzers, please. Audience, let's see if we can make Liam a rich fish. By the way, Liam has said that if he does win £1 million, he'd like to buy some food. Any particular sort of food, Liam?
Can I go 50-50?
No, that's not the question. I just want to know what kind of food you'd buy if you won £1 million.
I can't think. Is it Kenya?
No, I'm just looking for your favourite food.
Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Okay, forget it, forget it. Okay, just answer the question. The audience, press your buttons now. Right, 99% of the audience say salt. No one says strychnine. No one, surprisingly, says monkey spunk. And 1% of the audience think the condiment which traditionally accompanies pepper is Hitler's left jackboot. Oh, well.
I'll go 50-50, please.
All righty. Computer, take 2 wrong answers away. And according to the computer, it's either salt or monkey spunk for £1 million.
I think I'll phone a friend.
A good friend?
Anton, my best friend in the world, and the only fish who's never let me down.
All right, let's see if he can help you. Anton, let's phone him. Liam, you're not nervous, are you?
No, Chris. My heart's pounding 19 to the dozen, and there's a cold, clammy sweat breaking out all over my body, and I feel as though my eyes are going to pop out of my head, and I can't think or eat or sleep or shit, because every time I try to do any of those things, a big flashing sign comes up in front of my eyes saying, money, 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 money. Forget all this. It's not whether you win or lose. Bollocks! It's about winning, winning, winning. And if you don't win, you're a loser, and losers might as well be dead. Nervous? No, not really.
Well, it's just as well, because I've got some bad news for you. Anton's phone's engaged.
What?
Which means you're disqualified. Oh, give him a big hand, ladies and gentlemen. Liam the Fish goes home with nothing at all.
I'll kill him! I'll kill him! I'll kill him! I'll kill him!
Look, the goldfish are playing with each other.
Yeah. They don't spend their lives watching rubbish. Mm. They have a real relationship. Sometimes I wouldn't mind being a goldfish. Huh? Bet it's a lovely life.
I'll kill you! I'll kill you, God! I'll kill you! I'll kill you!
Me, what have I done?
What have you done? You've just cost me the chance of £1 million. £1 million! A record-breaking audience tuned in, only to find that when your chance came to participate, you were so engrossed in your own petty problems, you'd taken the bloody phone off the hook! What the hell were you doing?
Watching television.
What?
In your dreams, mate. Come on, Square Eyes. Best fin forward.
In The Goldfish Bowl by Sean Prendergast, you heard Sean Foley as Liam and Hamish McColl as Anton. And Tracy Ann Oberman and Sean Prendergast as practically everybody else. The director was Sally Evans.